Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Everyone around the world, once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson, and we have Dan Quinn on. We have an hour to get to all these listener emails. I got to tell you, the listener demand, the amount of emails that we get is really overwhelming for Dan Quinn. There's a lot of intrigue. A lot of people out there want to know. There's a thread on Reddit now. My producer, Donnie, has a thread up there, and there's also multiple threads about Dan. Questions for Dan. There's a Bob Carson fan username on there. There's a real Carson's Corner radio show. There's so much going on here when it comes to Dan Quinn, and we're happy to have him back on Carson's Corner now. We have a bunch of listener emails we're going to get to, and I want to ask Dan about specific things here. So without further ado, let's go to Dan Quinn. Dan, how are you, man?
Bob, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad you're well. It's Thanksgiving, or it was yesterday, at least. So how was your Thanksgiving? Dan, you there?
Bob,
I can hear you.
There?
Yeah, you're good. Did you hear my last question?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yesterday, I think, was Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you do anything good there?
You know what? Before I talk about Thanksgiving, Bob, I want to give a shout-out to Gasquat, small GASSQUAT on Snapchat. He has great deals on weed, and he said he's going to hook me up if he gets business. So for everybody listening that smokes marijuana, go to Snapchat, go to GASSQUAT, Gasquat, and he has screaming deals on weed.
Oh, that's awesome. And what is it like there? Is it decriminalized in here in New Jersey? It's now decriminalized thanks to a voter ballot initiative.
Same in California. It's up for recreational use. You don't have to have a license to get it anymore. They're making it easy
That's
to
good.
Get. It hasn't really affected the price, though, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's interesting. What's it like there right now, there where you are, Dan? Are people mostly positive? Is it weird to be spending the holidays in those circumstances?
Yeah, it's a little weird, you know, had a thief go into my room and try to steal some of my clothes today. I don't belong here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I got down to 160 pounds. I wasn't eating. I thought that my system had shut down because it had been burned. It was constipation. I put on, 254 minus 160, almost 94 pounds of weight in the hospital in 3 months. And they sent me to the loony bin because I wasn't eating. I don't belong here. I'm ready to get the fuck out.
Yeah, I hope so, and that's what it sounds like. And I know the last time around we're talking about this, and definitely seems like you're ready to move on. One thing we hear a lot about, Dan, when it comes to Thanksgiving is the genocide of Native Americans by colonists and their descendants. That's certainly a terrible stain on our nation's history, perhaps the worst even when you take slavery into account, although both were terrible. Maybe it's pointless to compare them. But do you have any plans to play the violin on Native American women in order to apologize for genocide against their species?
It'd be great to get a Native American woman to be a model for the violin movie. I have two models lined up. They're not Native American, but I'd be open to it. It'd be a good deal.
Yeah, we need to start a volunteer for the violin movement that women can sign up with, perhaps like a website or a mail-in request. Hypothetically speaking, though, if hundreds or thousands of women volunteered for the violin all at once, would there be some sort of priority system for victims of violence and those that have trouble with orgasms, or would it be a first-come, first-served basis if you had your way?
You know, thinking about it, it would be good to do the women who've been sexually abused and who can't come, because the violin overrides that and it takes them to as many orgasms as the violinist wants to play. That's a good question.
Yeah. And folks at home, if you could help get the word out about the violin with the free advertising, volunteer work, or cash donation directly, Dan, please get in touch. Dan, is there any way for people to get in touch with you currently?
Just my number, 916-517-9987.
Okay, and you're also on Instagram, right? But people can find you there as well.
Yeah, and I'm on Snapchat as Dan Gwynn.
Now, I wonder if you should start doing violin seminars. I mean, you could take a number of students to be your apprentices with the goal of spreading the violin worldwide. I would volunteer for that.
You'd be a disciple.
Yeah. Dan, this is an yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about the Reddit page. People there were concerned about you until recently. We managed to give them an update. Now, users there are back discussing your work and debating it vigorously. Like I was saying, I don't know if you heard before I brought you on, there's a ton of activity there when it comes to Stevie and what you're doing. This one comment stuck out to me when there was a debate going on about Pure H2. I would describe it as being something of a pure H2O and Stevie skeptic, this person, but I edited it very lightly to make it easier to understand. This person wrote, quote, "It almost 100% possible Dan was on drugs and then he saw something completely arbitrary and normal and thought that the energy was from this explosive soup was in fact free energy that he alone was the only person on the planet to figure out due to delusions of grandeur. We can also see that in his other behavior, like talking about the play as play is playing the victim of conspiracy involving Lou Holtz and Notre Dame and the claims that he alone can save the human race, cure cancer, etc. I'm not a psychologist, but I have spent a lot of time around people addicted to methamphetamine, and it's all typical. They use it to offset their awful behavior, like saying, if I could do something good for humanity, nobody will give a shit. And then I beat women and spent my whole day spun out on meth, ranting into the camera and threatening my mother was nice enough to live in her house." End quote. Dan, what do you say to this person who thinks that your invention of pure H2O might be a delusion while you experienced on drugs?
I tell them to put stevia in water and blend, and it'll knock the top of the blender off as a white soup surges out. And that's pure H2O, or that's actually split H2O. It's a natural gas. Water splitting apart. They can actually make engines to run off that. It's pure hydrogen. It lessens oxygen. You know, that's part of what blows the top of the blender off. And I'd say to the guy, fuck off. He's a punk. It's not delusions of grandeur. I wasn't on drugs. I was smoking marijuana. But that actually makes you smarter. They've done studies where it makes even the retarded smarter. Brings them up a notch.
And other forum members have pointed out that you haven't been on drugs this whole time. You've never stopped talking about pure HTO on stevia. So, you know, the idea that it's a delusion caused by drugs, I don't think comports with the facts. Do you think some people need to imagine that creative and highly intelligent individuals such as yourself have to be using drugs because they can't imagine what it's like to have that level of intellect? In other words, are they psychologically projecting onto you with comments like that?
I think they're haters wanting to hate. They're afraid of new ideas. They're caught up in the petroleum cartels conspiracy to burn this planet up.
What sticks out to me about this person is their suggestion that your motives for promoting stevia are purely selfish. Based on knowing you for a very long time, it's hard for me to imagine that ever being the case. I mean, Dan Quinn I know is someone who dedicates himself to trying to do good in the world, even if people disagree with some of his methods, you know?
Exactly. There's nothing, I mean, there's personal profit involved down the road when pure H2O gets validated for doing what it does. It brought Peachy the cat back into perfect health. I mean, we're talking about an animal that was skeleton thin, sneezing blood bubbles because one of the tumors in her throat had burst. And instead of getting her put to sleep, I put her on tuna fish blended with pure H2O, all the water underneath the soap that floats to the end of the blend of stevia and water. And she came back into perfect health, which led to my uncle losing 6 cancerous breast tumors and 74 pounds of flab in 4 months. Bottle that up and sell it, Bob, and I'm the richest guy on the planet. And you can go with me.
Absolutely. Listen, we have some listener emails to get to. This one comes from Seth. Dan, this 2020 has been my downfall. I had my act under control, but the stress of this year is messing me up. It's not like me to ask anyone for help, but I feel like I'm spiraling out of control. I'm now in a situation where I can't stop using meth. I'm addicted to meth. I know that you have some life experience that hopefully you can help. I'm 27 years old, and I'm doing meth daily, and I feel like I'm going nowhere. I swear, man, I could use any advice you have. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. I've been watching you on YouTube for quite some time since I was a junior high. And that's
I
Seth.
Tell him to get on,
that's Seth.
That's Seth. Seth, get on stevia and weed. It has a meth-like feeling, but it's natural. I've been up for 7 days before, and I could have gone longer, except I didn't want to. There was no reason. I wasn't videotaping it. It was purely for personal gain and knowledge. But stevia and weed together act like natural meth, Seth. So if you want to get off the bad stuff, get on the nature. Marijuana and stevia together will replace it.
Yes, thank you, Seth T. from Phoenix. Dan, here's a question about a villain from your past. Dan Quinn, what's up? I never liked Steve Stevie, and I always felt like he was just trying to latch onto you to get himself famous. I wish you had whipped his ass. Do you have any updates on him? What would go down if you came across him today?
You know, I'd probably shake his hand. Why not? Even if he was trying to latch on, he only helped the movement, I think. I don't think he detracted from it. Maybe he was trying to clown me, but until my first YouTube channel got shut down, I had like 998,000 hits, and he wasn't a part of it getting shut down. So I don't know what to say. If he was trying to latch on, he only helped to create some energy.
All right, we have what about Tigger Martinez? Any updates on him?
I haven't heard from Tigger in ages. I have no idea where he is, if he's alive or dead. It really couldn't care less.
All right, by the way, that last email was from Terry Stonter, Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. Yeah, I remember Steve Stevia. I was in contact with him. He created a video where he killed some goldfish by feeding them stevia until they basically melted or suffocated or something like that. I mean, it was really sick. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I think I do. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? All right, Dan, this is a rather lengthy email from Hunter Johns, Reno, Nevada. Dan, I'm trying to curry favor with my uncle because he makes bank and I want some. He's a producer for a porn movie company that specializes in guys with massive size. I remember that you used to talk about a former Notre Dame teammate, a guy named Pat Ballage. Didn't he have porn-sized penis? What can you tell us about that? Does it look weird looking at it normal? How long is it? The reason I need to know is because I will send a tweet to him if you give me the okay, and I will ask him if he wants to star in some porns. My uncle will give me a finder's fee if this guy's Wang turns out to be a monster. He pays a lot of money too, bro. If you could please answer those questions, I'd really appreciate it. That's strange.
Yeah, well, we didn't call him Pat Baggage for nothing. Pat Ballas to Pat Baggage. His cock hung down to his knees. And, you know, it was kind of hard to miss. So he would definitely qualify for the porn industry.
Yeah, he's welcome on Carson's Corner. Anytime, Pat Ballage in our super heavyweight penis size division. That's a real invitation, folks. Never expires. All right, Dan, we got one from Tyler Houston, Waco, Texas. This is concerning Lou Holtz. Stop the press, Lou Holtz. What would you say to that sorry son of a bitch right now? He has COVID-19, so maybe he's about to get what he deserves. Tyler Houston, Waco, Texas.
I would say what goes around comes around, you know. I don't know really what to say to Lou Holtz. If I would have been in the pros, he wouldn't even be here. He'd be dead. I would have paid somebody to have him killed if I would have had money in my pocket, which I never did. I've been held back for money for different reasons, and I think it was to stimulate my growth as a person, you know, realizing that people that don't have money are actually worthwhile. They're not just,
yeah,
not just a bunch of losers like I used to think when I was younger. And what I tell Lou Holtz, get on stevia. It raises your pH, naturally helps your body fight off antigens, and it would only help them.
Yeah. What do you think? What's your take on the illness? I mean, I guess you pretty much answered it. What goes around comes around, you know.
What was that now?
No, I just wanted to, you know, kind of follow up on that. You know, with regards to his illness, but you kind of answered it. What goes around comes around, you know. I don't know what else to say.
Lou Holtz has ruined so many people's lives. When I was a freshman, it was the summer before my sophomore year. I was in Minneapolis at a workout club, my girlfriend's workout club, and a guy with the Minnesota trunks on saw me and came over and started talking about Lou Holtz. And he told me that Lou Holtz came in and 86 everybody that hadn't played, didn't give him a chance. And I was thinking that I was too good, you know, that I wouldn't fall prey to what had happened in Minnesota. But see the play, see me getting fired, see them running a 4-3 instead of a 3-4 defense after to make room because I wasn't on the field and they didn't have enough personnel to run a 3-4. And yeah, Lou Holtz is a son of a bitch. You know, he's a cheater. He is a point fixer. He shaved points against, he threw the it was either 86 or 87 Cotton Bowl by starting John Foley at left tackle against a first team All-American from Texas A&M. John Foley was a linebacker. He wasn't a defensive tackle in the first place. He was hurt the entire year, hardly practiced, and Lou Holtz starts him in a bowl game. Tell me he wasn't trying to throw that game too, like he did Pittsburgh, firing me for saving 6 points.
All right, we got an email about your legendary fight with Bon Lapua. Dan, after your last appearance at Carson's Corner where you talked about Bon Lapua, I had to go watch it again. Dude, when you caught him with that one right hand, it looked like his entire neck, shoulder, upper back structure simply imploded. I seriously think you wrecked the bone structure in his upper body with that punch to the head. What the fuck, man? That was some sick power. Congrats on that fight. He almost had you beat. To what do you attribute your ability to come back and take that big man out? Pat Hardy.
Pat, Stevie, and Weed together. if it wasn't for Stevie and weed giving me extra strength, he probably would have knocked me out. But it kept me in the game, and I came back. Usually when people get rocked, it takes them at least a round or a round and a half to recover, if they ever do. But I came back immediately and was looking as sharp as ever and put him away with a 15-punch combination. And I attribute that to Stevie and weed. I was on Stevie and smoking weed right before that fight.
Yeah, and I think you actually even talked about this on a previous show not too long ago, but you attribute this to Stevie and weed. That, by the way, that was Pat Hardy. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt and proud American. And from what I can tell, Pat Hardy is a legit black belt and a real badass. Rumor has it that Pat Hardy and Hoist Gracie would patrol the streets of Texas and literally rope bad guys with a lasso. Thank you so much, Pat. We appreciate your email. And, Dan, we have another one here from Andrew Bundage, Vancouver, British Columbia. Dan, do you currently have any pets? I know that you were good to Kalani and Peachy the Cat. May they both rest in power. And do you have any pets now?
No, I don't. Kalani's still alive. When I got thrown in jail, my mom gave her to a special dog rescue for upper class dogs, not just like a regular dog rescue. And so she's living somewhere, I don't know where. God bless her. You know,
that's
I miss
amazing.
Her. Yeah, I don't have any pets now, and I won't until I get my own place.
Okay, we have another one here from Hank Brevis, Topeka, Kansas. Hey, Dan, I think Roy Jones is going to embarrass your boy Mike Tyson this weekend. Who do you think, faster hands in your prime, your very top prime? I think you possibly had as fast as hands as Mike Tyson. With all due respect, I think a prime Roy Jones had faster hands than you did, but I would say that all respect for your hand and foot speed. I think you probably could outrun him. Your thoughts, Dan?
I could probably beat Roy Jones in a race, but punching, there's no one like him. He has some of the fastest hands ever. He's one of the best fighters that ever walked the face of the earth, not taking anything away from Tyson. But Tyson had trouble with somebody who could box like Holyfield, and Roy Jones Jr. is one of the finest boxers that ever walked the face of the earth. So I saw him in the weigh-ins. They look like they're almost the same size. I think that Roy Jones Jr. wins that fight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. That fight is happening this weekend. I guess it's happening tomorrow and whatnot. And so you're picking Roy Jones to win that fight.
Yeah, I think that if Tyson had trouble with Holyfield, couldn't punch through his defense, that Roy Jones Jr. has just as good a defense or better than Evander Holyfield. And I think he's going to be too much for Mike.
Okay, we have another one from Bob Green, Mexico City, Mexico. Dan, the passing of the great Diego Maradona was impactful to the world. Those of us who feel that he maybe did too much coke would have rather seen him do healthy amounts of stevia, both to benefit his health and to promote stevia and perhaps help you get the Nobel Prize that you deserve. Do you have any opinions on this or soccer in general? I bet you could have been a great soccer player given your athletic ability.
You know, I played 1 year of soccer, and I had 20 goals in 10 games. It was my first year. And soccer is a great game. I love watching soccer. I love watching Diego Maradona. I can remember him, leading them to the World Cup. And I think it's a tragedy that he partied so much and took himself away from his fans at such an early age. He was only 60, right?
60? I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... All right, we have another one here from Colton Schlager, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Dan, do you ever look back and think about what might have been? I find myself thinking about my past and thinking about how things could have gone differently if I had gotten some breaks. I catch myself musing on my past and then bring myself to reality. I seriously think I could have been the next Guy Mezger or Mark Weir or Greg Hardy in MMA. Is this just wasted energy on my part, or is it good to think about things like this? I'm 63 years old, work out twice a day, four times a week. I wouldn't mind fighting someone my age, give or take 5 years. Thanks for hearing me out.
I think that spending time in the past is a waste of time. I look back on my past, and everything had worked out perfectly. I wouldn't have my two sons that I have right now, and all three of us are astrologically compatible We get along. We have a fantastic relationship. And I think that's more important than being all American, you know, or going to the pros. I know there's a lot of pros that don't get along with their kids. I've heard stories before. I mean, not specifically, but, you know, in general. And like I said, I had two sons that I love. Infinity squared, we say. And if everything hadn't worked out perfectly, I probably have a couple of kids that were born astrologically incompatible and didn't like me. So I feel blessed.
What's your take on fighting at 60 or older, Dan? Is that wise to do?
I think that it's a little bit old. You know, I think that the body can't take the punishment like it did when it was younger. And I'm feeling aches and pains, you know, not being on marijuana in the hospital. I have to mm-hmm. take ibuprofen for little tweaks in my back. And I can't wait to get out so I can start smoking marijuana and go natural.
Yeah. Many people, I don't know if you're familiar with Skip Hall. He was a fighter that fought well into his 60s. Are you familiar with Skip Hall at all, the fraudulent soldier pretending to be the oldest fighter ever?
No, I've never heard of Skip Hall.
Okay. Yeah, he. I haven't heard from him in a while. I'm anxious to see what happened to him. But let's move on here. We have one from Robert Gilpin, St. Paul, Minnesota. Dan Quinn, were you considered a 5-star recruit coming out of high school? I know you signed with USC at first and then went to Notre Dame, and I know that only the most elite of the elite high school football players could do that. I don't even know how much the recruiting ranking system, but I know that the 5-star is the tops. Were you a 5-star recruit? What sort of accolades and things in high school did you do to have such a coveted recruit?
Back when I was getting recruited, they didn't have 5-stars. They had 4. 4 was like a franchise player. I was a 3-star recruit.
Yeah.
Which was pretty high. There was only like a handful of 5-stars in the whole recruiting class. And there was not many more 3-stars. There was a bunch of 2-stars, a bunch of 1-stars, and I was a 3-star out of 4. Which,
well,
when you think about it, doesn't mean shit for seeing how many guys in the NFL come from Weber State and places like that, you know, who weren't any kind of recruit, just had talent. You know, sometimes the recruiters get it wrong.
Dan, what's next for Dan Quinn? Do you have any more news on Ernie the Barber? I'm seriously pissed off that he ripped you off, bro. You want me to get some of my friends and pay him a visit? I bet he's not even a real barber, is he? I just don't like that he's trying to get over you. I never would have seen this coming. A real wolf in sheep's clothing, that guy is. Is it related to Treba? Maybe he's just pissed that you basically loved her and left her. I don't know, man. Just say the word. Stand by and stand down. I always say, Hooter O. Jonesby, Little Rock, Arkansas.
No, I don't need anybody to help me take care of Ernie. I'm going to go and talk to Ernie myself. And if that doesn't work out, I'm going to go to the small claims court, you know. And if that doesn't work out, I'm going to blow that car up when he's not in it, just so he can't use it. It's my property.
Dear Dan, in the mid-1980s, after a dispute with his high school assistant coach, Mike Kartz, you were ordering food at Juanita's when 4 goons sent by Mike Kartz to supposedly fuck you up entered the restaurant and tried to flex, and you let your hands fly with a quickness and knocked out all 4 men in succession before some asshole from New York tried to step in, but soon became the 5th knockout victim. I have a question. Why did Mike Kartz do that? It only succeeded in making you famous, in my opinion. Also present on that fateful day at Juanita's was Mark Bugalo, who witnessed Dan knock those 5 guys out and used his enraged image as the inspiration for the Bad Boy logo. Well, has anyone heard from Bugalo lately? That's Trig Hentler, London, UK.
It's Boogaloo, and I think Boogaloo's in Hawaii the last time I looked, doing things, doing art. I'm not sure what he's doing. I wish he'd tell the truth, because I was at a party one time when Boogaloo was there, and he admitted that that was me. And I asked him, what'd you do, draw those rings around my wrist to throw out the scent? Because it made me look like a punk rocker. And at that point, I couldn't stand punk rockers, you know. Now I can stand everybody. Everybody is somebody, you know. There's a lot of assholes out there, truth be told, but there's more good people out there than the latter. And I used to be an elitist, Bob, because it was so good at sports, so good at football. I used to think that I was better than. I used to think that I was above. And it's been a long journey to get to this point, but I'm no better than anybody else, except that I discovered stevia and the violin. And, I know that I'm human. I know that people that are on the streets are human. They just have a bad break. We live in a society that doesn't give a shit about people that have nothing and turns their back on them, makes it even harder. And if I was in charge of a company that was selling pure H2O for maybe $2-3 a gallon, everybody in America would eventually want to buy it. And with the profit, I put people that were homeless in houses, or maybe not houses, but at least in hotels, get them off the street. You know, we got to clean up where America is trying to police the world and, exert our influence on so many other foreign countries when we haven't cleaned up our own house. We have to clean house first before we can start projecting on anybody else.
Dan, what happened with Mike Kartz and the Juanita's ambush? Was that really a paid hit?
That was actually, he didn't pay his friends, but I was at a bar, Yogi's, in Encinitas, California, and I saw Mike, and I didn't like Mike, but I said, hey, what's up? And he went like that. And when I was walking by him, and I went, I stopped, and I looked at him, and I said, you know what, punk? I said, I would have kicked your ass in high school. Because I poked him in the chest my senior year in high school and told him that he wasn't shit, that I'd kick his ass, that it was my defense, and he was playing a kid named Roddy. I can't remember Roddy's last name, but he was playing in front of my best friend, Pete Carroll. And Pete was a better cornerback, I believe. And it was going to take away from our defense, our first game against Lincoln. And so Mike and I had an altercation. It didn't come to blows because he was afraid of me. But when I was walking past him, I said, hey, what's up? And he went, pfft. And I said, no, it's not going to go down like that. I would have kicked your ass back in high school, and I'll fuck you up now. So do we understand each other? And he nodded his head, and I said, no, do we understand each other? And he said, yes. And I walked away. And that's when he sent some goons to try to fuck me up, and I got the drop on him. I was standing at the counter, and I got bumped from behind. And I did an elbow, lightning quick, caught the guy, knocked him out. I think I sent him to the hospital with a broken jaw. And then the other guys were standing there dumbfounded, and it was like a shooting gallery. It wasn't difficult. It was raw animal power.
Do you think that you should be owed royalties from the Bad Boy logo?
I definitely think that since it was based on me, that I should have gotten something, especially now that the UFC is using that as their go-to guy, aren't they? Didn't they buy the logo from Boogaloo, or they're using
probably,
it?
Probably, yeah, the tap out, yeah. Years
yeah.
ago, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the original Bad Boy, you know. I was 16 years old when I got into a fight with Mark Brannon, who was Mel Gibson in Tequila Sunrise. Their actual real-life character had a red cigarette boat, was connected with Jorge Hank Rohn, who was the governor of Baja California. The white Siberian baby Bengal tiger that he got caught with at the border and is in the San Diego Zoo right now, if it hasn't passed away. I held that in my arms at Mark's house. And that just brings around to Lou Holtz. If I had gone to the NFL, Bob, and had a little money in my pocket, I would have had Lou Holtz killed first and foremost to save players from getting fucked over, like Tony Rice. Tony Rice was the best quarterback that we'd ever seen. He threw the ball 100 yards in the air. I saw that with my own eyes. He had the strongest arm I've ever seen. Was pinpoint accurate. He didn't have any touch. He was always throwing like a cannon. I heard Tim Brown, Heisman Trophy winner, complaining about bruises from passes coming in the locker room. And I saw Lou Holtz jump on Tony twice in a fit of manic rage. And I saw him literally break Tony down, break his confidence, you know, and turn him into a kid that didn't know which hand to take his dick to piss with. Turn him from a confident stud into an incompetent quarterback that ended up in the Canadian Football League instead of a first-round draft pick.
All right, we got another one. Dan Quinn, the man. What's up, stud? Do you know that Shatterack is getting some love from the rap community? Tell me this. How did you get to know Shatterack, and how did you get so tight with the Boggos? That was amazing to see. Your friend Larry Moreland, Tennessee.
I got to be friends with the Boggos through my best friend, who's now dead, Ross the Grizzly Clifton. It was after his death that I became friends with Crazy Joe, who's now dead. And I had a falling out with the Boggos. Crazy Joe was trying to steal money from me, and I wouldn't take it. So I took his car, and he had, let's say, 8 guys try to stomp me out. They went to work. It didn't work. I've had a worse beating. If it had been in a dark alley, I might be dead. So where it took place was good for me, because there was cameras around and they could only, you know, do so much without getting in trouble. But I don't know if I answered the question. How did I get involved with Shatterack? Shatterack was hanging around Crazy Joe, and Shatterack, he had a lot of talent, I think. And it should have gone farther than he did. I don't think Joe put enough emphasis in trying to get him famous as he was supposing to do. And that's good that Shatterack's getting some love from the rap community. He deserves it.
Yeah, what about that? I mean, you know, everyone knows that Dan Quinn gave him the initial bump that helped to get his name out there.
You know, that's hard to say, Bob. I don't know what Shatterack did on his own. I know that he got some love on that first channel of mine that had 998,000 hits before it got shut down. And it's hard to say. I hope I was a good influence. Obviously not that good of an influence, since Shatterack isn't a household name yet.
Right. What about your advice, or do you have any advice for other young MCs starting out in the game?
I don't know anything about that game, you know. So, no, I don't have any advice for anybody like Shatterack or anybody else. You know, I have enough trouble getting my own stuff famous without trying to, you know, give other people advice where it's not warranted.
All right, I want to go to another email here from Lindsay Bowles. Dan, tell everyone about Vaughn Bean. People need to know about him. He was a talented boxer. He actually defeated you, if I recall correctly, though some say it was a disputed decision. Talk in detail about your amateur boxing background.
Well, I was ranked number 9 in the country after fighting Vaughn Bean and losing in the National Golden Gloves tournament in Des Moines, Iowa. I lost a split decision, maybe. I can't remember. It's been such a long time ago. I thought that I beat him, but he had a coach that had more weight, more pull. He was with Al Mitchell from Marquette, Michigan. And I think I saw that Al Mitchell just died recently, as a matter of fact. And after fighting Vaughn, Al Mitchell actually recruited me to go to Marquette, Michigan, but I was with Pat Burns in Miami, Florida, and so I never went.
Yeah, I'm looking at Von Bean's record. He fought the who's who of heavyweights. Challenged twice for the heavyweight title, and actually was a very, very good boxer.
Yeah, he fought for a world title. He lost, but he was good enough to get into the running for it. You know, anybody that fights for a world title has to have something going for them. They're not slouches.
Yeah, he fought Klitschko and made it almost to the 12th round there. It's very, very impressive that you were able to fight somebody of that caliber at the end. All right, let's go to another email here. Dear Mr. Quinn, I have a strong background in hard sciences. I have yet to come across a plausible explanation as to why or how stevia could possibly provide any positive health benefits. I love it if you could briefly give me your evidence behind how it shrinks tumors or how it gets rid of discs behind male breasts, because I see no scientific mechanism for this. Breast discs in men are only treatable by surgical intervention. Isn't that so, Mr. Quinn? Stevia lacks therapeutic power. Isn't that so, Mr. Quinn? And they don't give their name.
No. Actually, I had discs underneath my nipples that were painful. It was the same MO or the same – I'm drawing a blank. I'm looking for the same symptoms that my uncle had. A disc between underneath his nipple that was painful, and he was diagnosed with 6 breast tumors, and stevia banished them all. Actually, not just stevia alone; it was pure H2O, blending all the soap out of water before he drank it. But stevia is a cleansing agent for the body. When you start taking stevia, you shit a lot easier. Everything works better. You get more energy. You know, it has a high pH, so I don't get sick. I haven't been sick, and I can't tell you the last time that I had a cold or the flu. You know, stevia is a superfood. They just don't know it yet because it's so strong. People use tiny little bits. And the addict in me started using more and more and more. The more I used, the better I felt. And it led to discovering what massive amounts of stevia does. Cures cancer, diabetes, and obesity. Everybody that's had diabetes, that's used a lot of stevia, their blood sugar normalized.
That's fascinating stuff. Another question about stevia, sort of all the above here. Dan, the violin, stevia, hand speed, black kids in Wyoming popping like popcorn, the play, tequila sunrise, mice going gay in cages. Have you ever considered writing your own autobiography? Are you even a writer? The reason I ask is because Bob seems to be a good writer. Based on his interview questions, could you get Bob to write a biography for you? I would think perhaps this would be a good way to help get you and get Stevie famous. What say you, Dan? What say you, Bob? Thank you, Monty. I appreciate that. Monty Young from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Anything that it takes to get is not just getting me famous. It's getting stevia famous for what it is and what it does. And I think shooting a violin movie is going to help that, because during the violin camera, I'm going to say the properties of stevia.
Hello? Danny there? Let's see if we have lost Dan here. Dan? And Dan's call dropped here, and he'll probably call right back in here. We'll get right back to him. Yeah, keep these listener emails coming, folks. This is great stuff. Really, really good stuff. Get an update and talk about so many issues. And I would love to write a biography. I really appreciate that. You know, there needs to be a biography on Dan. I think so, without a doubt. Like I said, many people are interested. The intrigue has just grown. It's never stopped. All right, let's go back to Dan here. Yeah, Dan, you cut off there for a while and whatnot, but we're talking about the whole screenplay and whatnot.
We're talking about what?
a screenplay on your life, whether, you know, a book or screenplay or movie or something of that effect?
Would anybody be interested besides a few that are my fans? If people would, then I'm down for it. You know, I have a story to tell. But I think that a better venue or a better launching pad would be after Stevia and a violin go famous.
How should the story of Dan Quinn be told? I mean, you know, given that people certainly would want to know it, how would you prefer the story of your life be released to the masses out there?
That's a good question. I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I was held back by my family in almost everything that I did. I've been a financial prisoner my entire life. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to get into too much because then my mom won't help me out like she's promised to do and is trying to renege on.
Really? Is she helping you to try to get out, or is that kind of...
No, she was my conservator, and she backed out of that, and now I have a conservator from the state or from the county, and I don't need to be conserved. I'm not an imbecile. I can take care of myself. You know, I got evicted out of my mobile home wrongfully. If I would have been defended, that would have been put to the I didn't do anything wrong to get evicted. But the guy that ran the park, you know, one time he came up to me and we had a little verbal, not an altercation over Kalani, but he said, "Are you threatening me?" And I said, "You know, that'd be like threatening a female, okay? I don't, you know, hit somebody without a penis." And I think he took that to heart, held a grudge, and, you know, I got kicked out over Kalani being out too much. Nothing that I did that was wrong.
Right. All right, we have another one here. Dan and Bob. Hey, Dan, let's nail Bob down and get him to commit to doing Stevia right now. Bob, you got to just do it. Like the Nike ad says, just do it. If you join the Pound Him on the Club, you'd reap the benefits. Dan, one thing I need you to start pointing out to people is you always talk about how much stevia makes you initially shit, which is true. But you should also mention that even though you're shitting up a storm, you literally have zero gas. When I went through the stevia shits, I never once farted or otherwise released any gas. It was amazing because I normally fart a lot. Stevia obliterates farts. That's a selling point in my opinion. Anyway, keep up the good work, Dan.
I don't know about stevia obliterating farts. I never really thought about it before. But stevia does clean you out. It makes you healthier. It would prevent any cancers or any diabetes from developing. I think you've taken care of the diabetes part by knocking all that fat off your body, Bob.
Yeah.
But you never know about cancer. And the stevia can only... Hey, do you have any flabby hanging skin from losing so much weight so quickly?
Sure, around the midsection, sure.
Okay.
Little handles, yeah.
Stevia melts that away. Stevia melts it back to normal. So that would be definitely be a plus. We're talking about $45 a month, if you can afford that.
Certainly. And we should note, too, that this last person that emailed us said he's got his life back due to Stevia, helped him drop 70 pounds. Vincent Brooks, Providence, Rhode Island. That's pretty cool. That's great stuff.
No shit, 70 pounds. I believe that Stevia knocked 74 pounds off my uncle in 4 months. It wasn't just that Stevia was a pure H2O, but Stevia was the catalyst in that. So I believe that a gentleman in Connecticut dropped 70 pounds. You know, I mean, that's... that he'd be a winner on the Biggest Loser.
That's true. Well, that is the last question that we have for this week, Dan. We got a few minutes or so. Do you have anything that you want to bring up here on Friday?
Just want to remind people how to play the violin. Two fingers pressing down, or not just two fingers, pressure pressing down on the belly, below the belly button, against the inside fingers that are up to the bottom of the G-spot, up inside her pussy. Feeling each other, playing a violin action with both hands, fingers touching, and stimulating the clit 1 to 2 orgasms a minute for as long as it's played. And it overrides the stigma that rape victims have or sexual abuse victims have from not being able to come. It overrides that and takes them to as many orgasms as the violinist that's playing it wants to take them.
That is, all right. That is the last email that we have. And, you know, there's UFC on this weekend. There's the Tyson fight, which I'm not going to watch, but wants to watch it. My family, I'm not making that. But otherwise, Dan, it's been great having you on the program again, answering all these listener emails and people really, really paying attention to what you're doing.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah. Was that on your end or my end?
I'm not really sure. It might be on mine, although I do have over 50% battery power. So hopefully it's not an iPhone that's doing it. But I want to mention one more time, GasSquat, for anybody out there that smokes weed and wants a good price, GASS QUAT on Snapchat. And he said that if he gets customers, that he's going to shoot me a quarter pound of weed.
Well, good. That's
so
awesome. And he's
He's
by you. He's in California.
Yeah, I think he's in Los Angeles. I'm not sure, but he ships. You know.
Okay. That's good. Everybody I know. My sister gave me CBD hemp oil. For my pain and whatnot, and so I'll keep people apprised as to whether or not it works and whatnot.
It's gonna work. I've already heard from people that say that it works like a charm.
Yeah. Well, that's
you
good.
Haven't used it
good
yet, Bob?
What's up?
You haven't used the CBD oil yet?
I put a couple drops on my tongue today. And because I got real pain. I mean, I do a lot. I do grappling 5 days a week. I do kickboxing 2 days a week, and all the working out. Plus I have 3 herniated discs. I was in a head-on car accident last year, Dan, last November, and I have several herniated discs. Oh yeah, I was bad. I go to physical therapy. I mean, I go to Cairo, my chiropractic guy 3 days a week, and whatnot. So I need something because the Icy Hot and Bengay doesn't work. So I need something that's more effective in dealing with that. So I'm trying CBD now.
You should try out a joint, Bob.
Everybody says that. I know. But you know,
I'll tell
with
you
me,
what, there's,
I can't smoke anything.
There's no shame in that game. Well, then you should do edibles. Edibles
yes.
work just as well.
Yes.
You could eat THC. And it would be euphoria throughout your body. You know, with 3 herniated discs, I'm not saying that it would 100% kill the pain, but we're talking in the high 90s.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, absolutely. I know many people that have recommended that as well, too. And they're commonly available now, and they're becoming more and more available. So, you know, look, that's the great thing is that it's a big FU to the prescription drug pharmaceutical companies and whatnot. So,
most definitely.
Well, listen, Dan, it's been a pleasure having you on the program again. We'll hopefully talk to you sometime next week when we gather up all these the listener emails. And I hope you have a good weekend, man. Thank you for staying in touch on Instagram. And we appreciate you, man. Appreciate what you're doing.
Bob, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, brother. Have a good night, Dan. Thank you.
You take care, brother. Peace.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Dan Quinn here on Carson's Corner. Big thanks again. Yeah, it's almost 10 o'clock, and I don't know. I may go out for a run, or I may just stay home. I don't know. I'm kind of torn here, ladies and gentlemen. But in any event, thank you so much for all those listener emails. Thanks to everybody on Reddit, and thanks to everybody who's listening. And, of course, thanks to Dan for calling in. And we wish him well, and we'll talk to him sometime next week. So if you want to follow me, you can. Just go to Instagram.com/BobCarsonMMA. You could follow me on Twitter, although I don't post much on Twitter. Twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And Facebook, Facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.